Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the podcast. Brand new episode, another one. You're getting two episodes this week. This one is a bit shorter than my episodes usually are. Let me just tell you a little bit about it. So a couple of weeks ago, I was contacted by Carlos Suarez from Portugal. Carlos is a student at the University of, what's the name of his university? Aveiro. He's a student at the University of Aveiro in Portugal. Okay, and Carlos is doing a master's degree in audiovisual communication. And as you know, if you know anything about doing master's degrees, normally part of a master's course is that you have to do a dissertation. That's kind of like a big research project. And so Carlos's dissertation is about language learning podcasts. Okay, so Carlos is doing an academic study as part of his master's degree all about language learning podcasts. And in his email, he said things like this. In this project, I address the issue of language learning podcasts, making a theoretical framework involving issues such as the phenomenon of podcasts growing in popularity, the various methods of teaching a language and the effectiveness of those methods, focusing on the teachings of Stephen Krashen and his input hypothesis. So basically, Carlos's study is all about language learning podcasts and their effectiveness, the methods which are used, and evaluating those methods and considering things like the Stephen Krashen input hypothesis, the comprehensible input method, which I've talked about before, which you may well know about. If you don't know about it, we'll talk about it briefly in this conversation. So, okay, so Carlos wanted to interview me in order to collect data for his research, for his dissertation, right? So I expect he's interviewing a few different people. He's probably been contacting different podcast makers, language learning podcast creators like me in order to get as, you know, to gather as much data as possible to help him write his dissertation. So he asked if he could interview me. I said yes, but I also said, would you mind if I published this on my podcast as well? Because this could be an interesting conversation for my listeners to hear as well. And Carlos was happy for me to do that. So that's what you're going to get here. Okay. The purpose of this interview, first and foremost, was to provide Carlos with information to help him with his studies, okay? So it was recorded in that way. It wasn't recorded as a podcast episode, you see? So it's a bit shorter. It's maybe a little bit more to the point than conversations, my normal rambling, funny conversations that I have in episodes. But there you go. Now, one thing, Carlos has created a survey because he also wants to get information from listeners, people who use language learning podcasts themselves. So that's you, okay? So Carlos would really like to get as much data as possible. So if you could take his survey, that would really help him. And you'll find a link to that survey in the description of this episode, okay? And that's both the YouTube version and the normal audio version. You'll find a link in the description where you can take Carlos's survey. It shouldn't take you too long, but it will really help him. And, you know, this could be a useful project. Obviously, language learning through podcasts, it's still relatively new. I know it's been going, I don't know how old you are. So if you are 14 years old, you might think, oh my God, language learning podcasts, they've been going forever, haven't they? But they're, you know, relatively speaking, language learning podcasts are quite a new thing. And so people are understanding how it all works. And part of that process is something like Carlos's dissertation, his master's degree. And so this could be beneficial generally because it's useful, I think, for everyone to know more about how this whole thing works, you know, to understand the science behind it all. And Carlos's project might help bring new insights or revelations into the phenomenon of language learning through podcasts. So take his survey, it'll help with his study, and that ultimately might help us understand more about this whole thing, okay? As the body of academic work, understanding this subject grows and grows. So do take Carlos's survey. You'll find the link in the description. I'm going to now switch over to the interview, which was recorded just earlier this morning. Okay. All right. I'll maybe speak to you a little bit at the end, but otherwise, let's now start the interview. Here we go. So yeah, if you can just sort of remind me of what the project is, that would be good.
Okay. So this is an academic work, as I've told you, and we are trying to analyze the podcast phenomenon, more specifically the language learning podcast is niche. And these podcasts in the last few years, they have been increasing in popularity. So nowadays, podcasts are a relevant tool both in the education field and the entertainment field. So this is something that language learning podcasts, not only the general podcasts, also try to offer to get convey an educational value to the listeners, but as well as they are also trying to entertain the listener while they learn something, which is something like, for example, you and your podcast try to do. And this research aims to assess the possibilities that are presented by the podcast in the field of language learning, as well as its effectiveness and the most its most relevant features.
Okay, this is part of is it a degree, a master's degree, PhD?
It's a master's degree in the audiovisual communication. I'm from Portugal. The research question for this project was chosen as this one. What features make a language learning podcast relevant for listeners? So to answer this question, we also made a division into objective, into main goals. So these were mainly three. We have three main goals with this project, which are to identify the existing typologies of the language learning podcasts, to understand the effectiveness of these podcasts, and also to propose a manual of good practices for the creation of language learning podcasts. We also try in a little bit more like secondary objectives to try to get to identify the target, the consumer target of this type of podcast, and the ways of the monetization that can be adopted by the creators of this podcast, things like Patreon and so on, YouTube, Buy Me a Coffee, courses, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this.
Okay. Good.
So since we have now made the contextualization, I think we can go on with the interview if you agree.
Sure. I'm ready.
So let's go. So okay. This is for my interview, so I will have to ask you this. I know that this may not be that relevant for your listeners because they already know you pretty much, but could you provide a brief introduction of yourself and your work as a form of contextualization, please?
Yeah. So I'm an English language teacher, English as a second or other language, TEFL teacher, as it's called. I've been doing that for about 22 years, teaching groups of adults, taught in different countries. These days I live in France, and I still teach classes twice a week. I teach part-time these days. So I teach groups Mondays and Thursday mornings, groups of adults at various levels, intermediate often these days, or upper intermediate. And as well as that, I do this podcast for learners of English. It's called Luke's English Podcast. And I've been doing that for about 14 years. And I publish episodes more or less on a weekly basis. I put them on a podcast feed. And also I publish the videos, video versions usually on YouTube as well. The audio versions normally have a little bit more content than the video versions. And as well as that, I've got a premium subscription, which is through the Acast Plus system, which allows people to sign up and they get extra content. Normally content in which I'm actually teaching. I focus on teaching rather than just providing sort of, as you say, entertaining content.
Yes.
So that's like for a small fee per month, they can access that content in their podcast feed as well.
Of course, of course.
And a third thing maybe to mention is that I also do stand-up comedy too.
Yes, I've seen that. I'm also a big fan of comedy, so good luck in your journey.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
I've been doing that. Netflix special.
Yeah, Netflix special. I don't know. Maybe one day we'll see. Yeah. It being the third thing that I do means that I don't get to spend all my time and energy on it, but it is something I do regularly. So that means, you know, I go up on stage and tell jokes and stories and things like that. And I've been doing stand up sort of on and off for a more or less the same length of time as I've been doing this podcast. So it does help. It is a significant thing for me that I kind of combine the English teaching and something of the spirit of stand up.
I'd like to try stand up for fun, but I don't think I'm brave enough to do that.
Oh, you must try it because you know, you don't wait until
that I really like.
Yeah, don't wait until you're brave enough. You just got to learn to be brave enough. Yeah.
Okay. So
just do it. Yeah.
So yeah, we have that in common: the languages and the passion for comedy as well.
Yeah.
So. What about your academic background? You are a language teacher, you've told me so, but your formation, academic background, what did you do?
So starting at degree level, I did a degree in media and cultural studies at John Moores University in Liverpool. Media and cultural studies, I guess you probably know generally what that means. I mean, it was a critical sort of communications course rather than a sort of creative one. So that didn't mean I didn't really spend much time with cameras and microphones and stuff. I didn't actually create much. There were some elements of that, but not very much. Mostly it was like critical stuff. So the cultural things, it was understanding cultural theory. So we studied things like Marxist critiques and feminist theories and postmodernism and use that to analyze films and popular culture and stuff like that. And then, so that was that. And after my degree, I went on to, I just, you know, I sort of like didn't know what to do for a while. And then I did a CELTA course, Certificate in English Language Teaching to Adults, which is like the main first level qualification that you take to become an English teacher. That's the Cambridge, it's a Cambridge exam. And after about 5 years of teaching English, I took the DELTA qualification, which is a higher diploma in English Language Teaching to Adults. It's kind of like equivalent to a 1 year master's course. That's the kind of more advanced English teaching qualification. And so, that's it. That's my academic background, basically.
Okay. So, but what led you to create a podcast?
Let's see. I was always a fan of podcasts. So I started I started my podcast in 2009. So podcasting, I guess, was still in its infancy at that time. Yes. But I actually got my first computer with an internet connection in my home, in my own apartment, sort of a couple of years before. And I discovered podcasts and I just sort of thought they were wonderful, listened to them all the time. I had an iPod Nano, which I got for Christmas. And so I used to listen to podcasts all the time. So I was crazy about podcasts. And then I was working at a language school. teaching English, and I was given a special responsibility for blended learning or using technology in the classroom. And one of the parts of that special responsibility was to do an actual online course in podcasting. The school was curious about podcasting and wanted me to find out all about it, with possibly with a view to using podcasts in the classroom. At the time, the idea was that it could be part of class projects where the students would actually record podcasts, which didn't turn out to be the way that podcasts could be used for learners of English. Obviously, now we see that basically English teachers or content creators use podcasting as a platform to provide content to learners of English, right?
Yes, yes.
So I did the course and I learned all about it. I decided it wasn't really appropriate for class projects, but instead I thought, well, I realized that I could just make my own podcasts really easily and publish them.
Okay.
And I had a laptop with an inbuilt microphone. You know, the technology sort of was at this point where it was kind of fairly easy to do. And so I found a platform.
It's a democratic media, the podcast.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Hopefully it'll stay that way. And so I just realized, oh, I can do this. And I can actually record stuff. And using like software on my computer, I can make MP3s, upload them to this website, podomatic.com.
Yes.
And then people can go into iTunes, find my show and subscribe to it and get the episodes. And it's like, oh my God, this is incredible, an incredible platform. And this is even before the days when YouTube was kind of like as easy to use. Yes. YouTube, you had a 10-minute limit for videos and stuff like that, but podcasts, you can kind of like, you could upload as much as you want, and it being audio, it was much easier to edit the content, and you know, it's just suddenly really easy.
Yeah, even now in the language learning field, I've noticed is that the podcasts are way longer than the videos, even in the same projects, for example.
Yeah although I'm contradict that idea a little bit these days. Yeah,
your channel, you also publish your own podcast in the YouTube channel, so there's that connection. But there are some projects who publish the podcast, for example, in Google Podcasts, and do some extra content for YouTube, content. But
yeah, that's right, because you know the sort of convention is that on YouTube the content is much shorter and a lot more visual.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it. And I just thought this is a platform. It's a chance for me to, you know, exercise my creative urges and also to use my, teaching skills, that there's an audience out there that I could reach. You know, as I said before, it's like combining this stand-up comedy idea or something about expressing myself in content with the English teaching. And it just seemed like the obvious thing for me to do. And so I just did it and you know, I haven't stopped, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But so for the next question, as you've said, you have already taught language classes in the face-to-face school context, as you said. So, but what is your opinion about the traditional way of teaching and learning languages, the one mostly used in academic contexts like school and etc.?
Well, it depends, because there's two situations that we can talk about. One is when people, maybe for example in Portugal or in France, when you are at school as a child, you have English lessons. Taught by a teacher who might be Portuguese or French or something.
Yes.
And you've got a class of 25 or 30 kids you're 11, 12 years old, and it's like you've got to study English in class. So there's that situation. And then there's the other situation, which is where, as adults, people realize, oh my God, I've got to improve my English. My English is good enough. Even after like whatever, 10 years of taking English classes at school, it's still not good enough. So I need to go and take English classes as an adult. So you might go travel to England and, you know, take 2 months off and do an English, you know, English classes every day like that. Or you find somewhere in your home country where you can have classes and you take English classes as a second or other language. As an adult, the classes are smaller. You pay more money, obviously, because it's not part of the state school system. And there you are. You're in a classroom, struggling. And the methods might be different, you know? The methods between the high school situation and the private language school situation, the methods might be different. So my experience is of the second one, you know?
Yes.
Teaching English to adults in small groups in classrooms. And in that situation, it really... It depends a lot on the motivation and attitude and habits of the learners, right?
Yes.
So instead of me making a critique of the English classroom as a situation, there are many factors involved.
Autonomy is very important in learning languages.
Yeah, the students, learners have to have a sense of autonomy, because what can happen, the sort of trap that a lot of people fall into is that they go, right, I've paid my money, I've bought my course, I've traveled.
I just have to wait.
Yeah, I've traveled to London.
Yes.
And I just need to just move my ass into the classroom and like sit there. Yes. And the rest will just, you know, the teachers will look after everything. They will just fill me up with English.
Yes.
And I'll just sit there and I'll just be filled with English. But in, you know, it's not really the case. You've got to.
Does not work that way.
Yeah. Learners of English have to use that situation as a tool, you know?
Yes.
It's a great tool. It's a great opportunity. But they have to essentially see it like that. They're using it as a tool. And that they have to be very active and proactive and autonomous, as you said. And if they do that, then it can be a really good way to learn a language. But there are many, many factors that can prevent it from happening. The attitude of the learner, and also the other students you have in that room. You might be unlucky and have a bunch of people who are just completely terrible. You know, it's always potluck who you end up sitting next to or who you end up with. You know, I've had classes where some of the other students just ruined it for everyone else. For what, you know, just personality.
We've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been in that situation. So I think it can be a great way, but the learner autonomy and a sense of proactiveness is important.
Okay. So you've talked about the factors that contribute to language learning, the processes. So I'd say there's four main processes that are connected to language learning, which are listening, reading, speaking, and writing. And what I would like to ask you is, in your opinion, which of these processes are the most important in the language acquisition?
Gosh, so it depends. I think for most, it depends on people's goals and aims, right? So in my experience, most people who come to my classes want to improve their spoken English because they realize they're going to need to use English to communicate orally, right? They're going to be,
of course,
either in business meetings where they're suddenly having to operate in English and they have to understand what's being said and they have to be able to express themselves fluently at the same level as the people in the meeting to be competitive, right? There's that. And then there's just the social side where people want to be able to just sort of be able to operate socially. So if they're traveling or if they just happen to meet people who speak English, they can just, you know, adapt to that situation quickly. So spoken fluency and being comprehensible are probably the main aims. So if we just talk about that in that context, then certainly listening and speaking are the two big skills there. And which one is more important than the other? It's really hard to say. It's really, really hard to say. I think maybe listening, listening has to be really, really important. And that actually helps you with your speaking. I think all the skills are equally important, really. Yes. If you're going to be a fully fledged you know, user of English, you need to be able to have all those skills in place, and they all help each other as well.
Yes.
But, you know, as I said before, if you're focusing on oral English, then yeah, listening is vital, and that actually helps you with your speaking. So I would probably, if I have to choose, I'm going to say listening, because I make a podcast for learners of English. So listening is...
But yeah. On the other hand, for instance, if you learn a language for academic purposes, maybe reading will have a bigger importance.
Yeah, reading and writing, of course, are going to be really important if you're doing that. But then again, you know, listening and speaking are also hugely significant, because if you're taking a... if you're doing English for academic purposes, you have to sit and listen to lectures, you have to take part in seminars, you have to do research interviews like what you're doing now.
I was talking mostly about reading the literature and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, obviously then reading is going to be massive, because I think students tend to read a lot more than they listen, so in that case,
another hot topic on the language learning community, especially the language learning podcast community, is the topic of the grammar. So, in your opinion, is the study of grammar crucial for teaching and learning a language, or should it take the back seat, a secondary place in relation to the immersion in a language and the understanding input?
As you say, it's a hot topic, and people have, you know, fairly established opinions about this, right? You know, that, I mean, I'm sure that you'll be writing about the input hypothesis and Stephen Krashen
of course,
in your study, of course, right? This is a very popular and often cited theory, let's say, or approach, which is that, you know, that essentially exposure to language itself through listening and reading is more beneficial to learning a language than language instruction, which would be essentially teaching grammar or teaching the mechanics of the language. That instead of doing that bottom-up thing, you focus on communication and listening and input. I think there's probably, I mean, that's a very popular thing, obviously, at the moment, because it sort of does fit in with the whole content creator system.
Yeah.
So naturally, people who have podcasts and YouTube channels will agree with this idea, because it sort of supports the whole approach that they're using. But I think that there is a lot to it. I'm not that sort of dogmatic about one particular way. I tend to go for a more balanced approach, because obviously, having come through the CELTA, the Delta, and teaching, I do see the value in language study and language instruction to an extent, but it's not the be-all and end-all of learning a language. I think that obviously a lot of the things that Stephen Krashen has written about and said make total sense, that you obviously have to listen a lot, you have to read a lot. We focus on oral English here. Listening a lot is really important, because how can you expect to be able to speak a language without knowing really what it sounds like?
Of course.
So it makes complete sense that the input hypothesis is correct and true. So I think for me, it's sort of a balance, that you should definitely focus on language as a communication system, which means that you've got to listen to it a lot in order to understand the rhythms of it, understand the way it sounds, the way the words connect together, the way that you've got to become familiar with the oral version of the language. Because in English, especially, there's the oral and written versions are quite different. And if you only study the language on paper, if you study the grammar, then you're going to struggle to convert that into oral spoken English. But at the same, so I would say, yes, listening, the five L's are really, really important. But then, you know, there is a place for doing some grammar study as well. It might be a secondary or sort of, you know...
To polish your language, for instance.
Yeah, like an auxiliary thing.
Yeah.
You know, but every time you're looking at grammar or studying grammar, you always think of it in practical terms of, you know, for me as a teacher, when I'm studying or teaching English grammar, my method of testing it or establishing whether I'm understanding it, whether it makes sense, is to run this sort of the grammar through in my head. And so does that sound right? Does that sound natural? That's how I establish whether something is correct or not. It's based on my instinct rather than my knowledge of the rules. My knowledge of grammar rules is supported by my instinct.
Knowing the language, but not about the language. There's also that distinction.
Yeah. So you've got to know the language first, and then you study the language to understand about the language, as you said, as a support, as an auxiliary thing to the main thing, which is focusing on the communication and listening and speaking. Yeah.
So as we've talked about in the last few minutes, I think we can conclude that there is not an universal and infallible method of language teaching or language learning. So this process of learning a language, maybe it's too complex to be easily sequenced into an instruction manual.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that what it often comes down to is motivation, and whatever help. So it's time and practice.
Yeah.
Ultimately, time and practice. Time so if you practice. Spend if you love grammar and you love studying the rules of grammar, and this is what motivates you, then do that, because that is not gonna hurt. You know, that's definitely gonna help. Whereas if you just love listening to a certain podcast where they tell stories, then do that, because time and practice, you need to spend as much time practicing as possible. So whatever method, whatever avenue you choose is going to work. You know, the metaphor I've used in the past is that all roads lead to Rome, you know, like whatever method you choose, ultimately the destination is going to be language acquisition. But there are certain kind of like basic rules, you know, like, for example, don't just spend all your time studying grammar and learning vocabulary in lists. You've got to learn language in context, and you've got to, language is not a thing you know, it's a thing you
emerge yourself.
Yeah. And language is a thing you can do. Focus on being able to do English rather than just understanding or knowing English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as you said, you talked about listening, about practice, the motivation. But in your opinion, and to conclude this interview, this conversation, what habits can, in your opinion, can help someone learn a language? What would your advice be in terms of habits?
Well, listen a lot. Listen to my podcast. There you go. That's the end of the conversation.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Listen regularly, listen on a daily basis, okay? Even if it's just a short amount of time, but focus on listening on a regular basis, and try to activate your English as well. So that means, you know, repeating what you hear sometimes.
Okay.
So listen and repeat, or shadowing, and personalization. So like when you're listening to something, try to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and speak.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult habit to get, because people think, well, I can't, there's social.
Don't get afraid of making mistakes. So
Yeah.
Every language learner has a little bit of that. So
yeah, of course. Yeah.
I will embarrass myself and stuff. So.
God. Yeah. Me too. In French. Yeah, absolutely. But so there's a leap you have to take, which is like where you just have to throw yourself into it and not worry too much. So there's that. You have to take that leap. But yeah, if you make it a habit, if you regularly express your thoughts and ideas in English, even if there's no one there, even if you're just doing it on your own, that does help. And that then makes that social leap a little easier where you know, if you've practiced a bit, when you're with other people, you won't freeze and sort of like get blocked so much.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I'd say this concludes our interview. So thank you very much for your help and your collaboration. And since you are learning French, I assume. So
yeah.
Bonne chance avec votre apprentissage du français.
Merci beaucoup. Je prends. I'll take your
je comprends. I understand. No, I also speak better English than French, so It's okay. Better to do this in English. So
yeah, sure.
I guess this. So good luck on your journey in your podcast with your comedy as well, with your life.
You.
So yeah, thank you so much for helping me.
Thank you, Carlos, and good luck with your studies. And I should probably you've got a questionnaire or a survey?
I was also going to talk about that. So I have the survey. If you could just make, for example, a YouTube post, community post. So I received this questionnaire from a student. If you could respond, it only takes 5 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah.
A simple thing like that, that will help me a lot.
I'll put a link to your survey in the description of this episode.
Or also
Listeners, Carlos has got a survey for you. It's going to help him with his studies.
Yeah, that will be...
His project is going to help everyone understand how this all works, right? Because at the
of course,
hopefully
that's it.
So you
inshallah.
Can take this, inshallah, yeah.
Inshallah.
We can take the you can take the survey by clicking the link in the description. It'll help Carlos with his study.
So yeah, I guess that makes it. So
all right,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos.
I will. Can I? So we'll see.
That's...
goodbye,
okay,
goodbye.
We can stop now. Thank you. Cheers.
Okay. Cheers. Cheers.
So that was my interview with Carlos there. All right. I hope you found that interesting. I hope Carlos finds it useful and that it helps him with his master's degree dissertation. Remember that Carlos would also like to hear from you. And you can help him by taking his survey. There are a few questions about how you use podcasts for learning English. Okay, so you can just find the link to that survey in the description of this episode. Click the link, take the survey. It shouldn't take you too long and it will really help. Okay, so that's it. Thank you so much for listening to this shorter episode of Luke's English Podcast. No big rambling stuff from me at this point, but new episodes will arrive soon in the next few days. I've got lots of episodes lined up for you. I hope you've been enjoying the recent content, and I hope you enjoy the content which is yet to come. Okay, thank you so much, and I will speak to you next time. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.